So we'll talk about representing text. The way we represent text is we have 8 bits for every character. So how many values are there for 8 bits? Off the top of your head.
2 to the 8th.
Is that how many?
2 to the 8th.
2 to the 8th. So I could have 256 different characters. So an A might be 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1. Right? By the way, that pattern might also be the color blue, or you know, the pitch A above middle C, or you know, Catalina's middle initial, or so. It could be anything. You know, just this is just a convention. That's just an assumption. Left parenthesis is a different pattern, and we have 256 combinations. And of course, people thought, well, this is plenty, because after all, we have 26 letters, uppercase, lowercase, the numbers 0 through 9, a bunch of punctuation marks. And after all, everybody who uses a computer speaks English and doesn't do anything in any other language. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That wasn't entirely the case. We have a small convention, so when we refer to the word hexadecimal, this is just a shorthand way of writing down bits. So if I wanted to say, and I'll just come over to the board here, see if they can follow me around. If I wanted to say that A is 01000001, it's a pain in the neck to write that down. So hexadecimal would say the number 00000001000. This is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to A, B, C, D, E, F. So there are 16 values, and it goes from 0000 to 1111. So this number is 4, and this number is 1. So I would say A is the number 41. Right? And if you want to understand this completely, if I have 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 squared, 2 cubed, so 0, 0, 1, 0. 2 squared, this is 1, 2, 4, 8. So 0, 0, 1, this is 4 plus nothing, that's 4. Okay? Or the number 0, 1, 1, 0, this is a 4 plus a 2, that's a 6. Is that clear to everybody? Is everybody that heard this 8 million times? Do you see exactly what I'm doing here? If I go 0, 0, 0, 0, that's 0. 0, 0, 0, 1, 1. 0, 0, 1, 0, 2. 0, 0, 1, 1, 3. Because this column is 1, 2, 4, 8. Right?
So just, you know, the thing you have to be careful of is, Ken is reusing the same symbols, like 1 and 0, for example. Sometimes they're binary digits, and sometimes they're hex digits, and sometimes they're decimals. So you actually have, you can't just kind of look at 4-1 without somebody telling you which way you're supposed to interpret it.
So this is where, this is a hexadecimal 41. A decimal 41 is, you know, one more than the decimal 40, and that's one more than 39. Okay? In hexadecimal, 40 is one more than 3F, because it goes all the way up to F. It doesn't stop at 9. It keeps on going through A, B, C, D, E, F. Right? And this is nothing more than a shorthand way for us to write down what binary digit strings are, because they're a pain in the neck if we wrote them all down with ones and zeros. So we write them down in groups of 4 this way. It's just a shorthand way. Let me just get a little bit closer here. And this, the American Standard Code for Information Interchange, is the universal way that people represent codes in the English language. And this has been agreed to, I don't know when this was first agreed to, before I started to program, which is back in 1879. So here you can see that it's the hex XY, so 4-1 is capital A. I don't know where the 4 went to. 3-3 is the number 3. 5-4 is capital T. So if I wanted to write, you know, if I wanted to know what is the code inside the computer for a small j, right? For a small j, it would be 0110, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1. So that would be the string of 8 ones and zeros that would make up a small j. All right, now this has to be the most boring 10 minutes of the entire class. And if it's not, then ASCII is what's underneath emails. It's what's underneath web pages. So what happens if you need more than 256 characters? What happens if, amazingly, you decide to use something other than English with its limited set of characters? Well, the answer is you go to 32 bits. And this is a universal code, Unicode, and it covers all of the orthographies, all of the character sets that we know of. And some of them, of course, are very large. You know, kanji, Chinese character sets are very, very large. What is this? Here's an example of Unicode.
I'm just trying to get a free the Unicode website.
Okay. I'm sure that you all recognize this, right? Mm-hmm. Yes? You don't recognize this? I'm shocked. excuse me? Somebody have a guess?
Sanskrit?
Tamil. I think this is Tamil. Yes?
I think it's Tamil, yeah. Okay, now, does that answer the question for anybody? Can anybody tell us what Tamil is?
Sri Lankan rebels.
There you go, the Tamil Tigers. Right, so if you want to be writing something to the Tamil Tigers, you would write it using that character set. Now, I forgot to memorize the name of this character set. But it's not Shavian, because you didn't convert the Shavian picture, so I didn't include it. This is a name that I don't even remember, Pogologo or something.
Yeah, I forget what it is.
So the moral of the story is that, you know, with 32 bits, I can have lots of characters. I mean, anybody know about how many characters I can have with 32 bits?
2 to the 32 is
only. Right, 2 to the 32. Somebody can Google 2 to the 32. Here's another one of these character sets. I mean, they are really fascinating to look at, and Harry's going to bring up the Unicode book. Do you remember what this one is? Linear B.
This is Linear B, right. That's a Cretan script that hasn't been written for 2,500 years. But maybe you want to start writing in Linear B. So somebody actually assigned strings of 32 ones and zeros to all of the ideograms in Cretan Linear B.
All right. And here we have the actual Unicode homepage. Everything can be found on the internet. Right, so that's how you represent text. The way you represent text is for every character in your text, you just assign some string of either 8 ones and zeros or 32 ones and zeros, depending upon your restricting yourself to ASCII, hence just the English character set, or, you know, more.